Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or you can go to Twitter and join the conversation at hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Schmelk on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. And the New York Giants are embarking on their offseason. We are now a week off of the Super Bowl. I feel like everyone's kind of settled in now. The NFL offseason is underway. You have news breaking all over the country. You had, of course, the news over the weekend. One of the players coming out of the draft, coming out announcing he is, in fact, gay. And we'll see if that at all affects his draft status. You would hope that it doesn't, simply based on, you know, fairness and all those things, which obviously is what you're looking for, no discrimination. So you hope that doesn't affect his draft stock. But you see around the league now, everyone's kind of settled in with their coaching staffs. Everyone has embarked on their offseason. And really now, with everything settled, we know who the Super Bowl champion is. For the most part, we know what the draft order is. Spare a couple of tiebreakers and coin flips they're going to do at the Combine. The Combine's going to be in 2 weeks. Giants.com will be there. And here we go. And this is where I think you need to start with the New York Football Giants. You talked about the draft. You talked about free agency. But what are the Giants going to do with some of their own players? I'm going to go through the list of guys that the Giants could make some moves on here if they wanted to try to free up some more cap space and get closer to that $30 million number, which is really, to me, unless you do some really wacky things, the most you're going to get. Now, I'm going to start with the big one. That's Eli Manning. He's due to make just over $20 million this year. He only has 1 year left on his contract. So you could theoretically restructure him one more time, but that would simply move a ton of more money into the last year of his deal. And next year's cap number is the same as this year's cap number. So I'm not sure you want to make next year's cap number much more than $20 million. So to me, you leave Eli Manning alone. You let him have another bounce-back good season. Then you make a decision on you extend him next year. That's number one. Number two, and I'm going to go this in order of the players that I think they have in value to the team. So I'm going to leave the easy guys for last because, let's be honest, what fun is that? So number two is Ontrell Roll. Right now he makes $9.3 million on the salary cap this upcoming season. Now, if you decide to cut Ontrell Roll, you've paid him most of his signing bonus. So you would actually save about $7.2 million on the salary cap if you want to let Ontrell Roll go. But hold on. He's your best defensive player. He's your captain. And really, with Justin Tuck as a free agent, John Beeson as a free agent, he right now is your only real leader left on that defense from last year when the defense played so well, especially in the last 10 games of the season. So I think Ontrell Roll stays, obviously. My guess is that within the next few weeks, the Giants and he will discuss a contract extension. Now, they can do an extension with Ontrell Roll since he's not an unrestricted free agent or restricted free agent this year. The Giants could theoretically extend him at any time. So Ontrell Roll is an option for the Giants to extend, and that could reduce that $9.3 million cap number and get it down to a more reasonable, probably 3 or 4, say $5 or $6 million on it. Next player, and this is where we start getting a little bit interesting. William Beatty, he's earning $7.4 million this year. However, they just signed him to a big money contract last season. If you cut him with this offseason, even if you designate him a June 1st cut, I'll get into that a little bit more later when we talk about David Boss and Matthias Kiwanuka. But bottom line, too much money in that signing bonus, which is in the double-digit millions, gets accelerated forward. So letting go of William Beatty, not really a realistic option. The earliest you could do it is next offseason, and then you would designate him a post-June 1st cut. And that's something you could look at if he doesn't have a big bounce-back year for the Giants. Moving on further down the list. And by the way, all these numbers are numbers I've gotten through various blogs. Bleacher Report had some stuff. ESPN had some stuff. I know Ralph Vacchiano posted some stuff as well. So I've kind of gathered all these numbers. They're not official, but that's where I've gotten them. The next player on the list is Colin Jenkins. Now, Colin's making a very reasonable $3.3 million next year. If the Giants will let him go, they could save about $2 million on the cap. But to me, $3 million for a guy that was as productive as Colin Jenkins last year is, if not a good deal, an outright bargain. So you leave Colin Jenkins alone at that number. And to me, he's a guy that might actually play out his contract without having to renegotiate at any point. Now we get into some of the easier guys. You got Brandon Myers, signed to a four-year deal. They could get out after one. That would simply accelerate $1 million of dead money on your cap. So I think that's a pretty easy move for the Giants if they want to get a two-way tight end to fit into the system with just $1 million of dead money. There's a fair chance that's probably going to happen. Going over to the defensive side of the ball, Corey Webster is owed about $2.2 million after his restructure and pay cut he took last year. If the Giants let him go, it's $1 million of dead money, $1.25 million, I believe, of cap savings. So easy move. You probably make that decision as well. Though, I will say this. Worst case scenario, you can't find a corner in the draft. All the corners in free agency cost too much money. To bring Webster back at $2 million as a desperate, oh crap, we don't have any veteran corners on this team, not out of the realm of possibility, but I'd say very, very likely in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, not any news or information from up above with Jerry Reese in the front office, I think fair to say, especially after a year where Corey didn't really play besides the second and third games of the season, I think it's a fair bet to say he's probably on his way out the door. Now, the two big offensive linemen. First, you have Chris Snee. He has 1 year left on his contract, $11.75 million on his contract. Now, here's the problem. $4.5 million of that is guaranteed money. It's signing bonus that got prorated from previous restructures. So if the Giants were to cut him or Chris Snee was to retire, either one, they would save $7 million off of that $11.5 million number, leaving them with $4.5 million of dead money. Now, if Chris Snee decides he wants to play, that's when the Giants need to make the decision. Do they want to let him go? Do you want to maybe extend him a year and restructure? I think that's something the Giants will have to think long and hard about and decide, see how his rehab's going. Can he come back if he's healthy and be an effective player? Was he healthy last year at any point in the season? Because we saw him struggle in the preseason. We saw him struggle the first few games of the regular season, struggling moving side to side because of those hip surgeries. These are very serious surgeries Chris Snee has had. I believe he's had three hip surgeries now, if I'm not mistaken. Two in one hip and one in the other. So can he get healthy and be the player that he was? I don't think anybody knows. So Chris Snee's not going to simply say, I'm going to renegotiate. I'm going to give you your $4.5 million of signing bonus back. That's not going to happen. Now, might he renegotiate and get his base salary way down? So maybe you bring his base salary down to $1.5 million, and then he gets the $4.75 million guaranteed on top of that. So if you want to keep him, you know, you're only saving, if you want to cut him, then you're only saving $1.5 million. Then it makes it a lot easier to keep him around. Basically, you're paying him to play here for $6 million, or you're cutting him and still paying $4.5 million. So that's something the Giants can look at with Snee. I think there's a chance Snee's back next year, but only if he renegotiates that base salary number way down. So if the Giants do keep him, the amount they're paying him is only going to be slightly more than the amount they would save if they let him go. The other offensive lineman that is going to be require a little bit more creativity is David Boss. He counts over $8 million against the cap this year. Now, if the Giants would cut him, they'd only save just under $2 million. He's owed $6.5 million of signing bonus money over the course of that contract. So cutting him outright might not be the best idea. You're only saving $2 million. However, if you designate him a post-June 1st cut, each team gets two of those each offseason. That would improve the cap savings to $5 million. But next year, you would lose $3 million of cap space. So you'll lose $3 million this year, $3 million next year. So that's what the Giants would look at, but they will do something with David Boss, whether it's a renegotiation, an outright cut. They can't have him counting $8.2 million against the cap. That's something I would expect to see happen before free agency gets here. And finally, Mathias Kiwanuka. He has 2 years left on his contract. He has $5.25 million of dead money over the next 2 years. If you cut him this year, of his $7 million that he owed, you only saved two. If, like Boss, you designate him a post-June 1st cut, your savings go up to $4 million, but then again, you're losing just over $2.5 million next season. So, as I said, the Giants have a lot of very creative things they're going to have to do to get some extra cap space to work with this year. But even with all these maneuvers, and they do them, you'll get to $25 to $30 million under the cap, which should give the Giants a lot of flexibility heading into the offseason, getting ready for 2014. Now, let me just say this before I get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Do you want to know why the Giants struggled last year? I'm going to do some math for you. These are the salary numbers for these players this upcoming season. William Beattie, 7.5. Colin Jenkins, 3.3. Eli Manning, 20. Ontrell Roll, 9.3. David Boss, 8.2. Mathias Kiwanuka, 7. Corey Webster, 2.5. Brandon Myers, 3. Chris Snee, 11. Some quick math for you, folks. That's 14, 16, 23, 31, 40, 60. That's about $70 million of the Giants' salary cap in those 10 players. And here's what's really depressing. Out of those 10 players, which ones had good seasons last year? Chris Snee? Uh-uh. Hurt all year. Brandon Myers, decent amount of catches, but otherwise a disappointing season. Not impact catches. Corey Webster, barely played. Kiwanuka, invisible most of the year. David Boss, hurt all season. Eli, maybe the worst year of his career. Colin Jenkins, played extremely well. Giants got him at a good number. Will Beattie, terrible year rehabbing a broken leg. And finally, Ontrell Roll, played extremely well. So out of those 10 players, only two had good seasons last year. And that's $70 million of your, what, $125 million or so salary cap. We'll see where it ends up this year in the offseason. But you're looking at 60% of your cap with 10 guys, eight of which played either poorly last year or didn't play at all. It's hard to win football games when more than half your cap is wrapped up in players that can't play or at least didn't play well last year. That was a little strong. You get where I'm coming from. It's hard to win games that way. And Mike Farmer on Twitter always likes to complain, and rightfully so, that the Giants say, well, they don't have cap space, they can't make a lot of moves in the offseason. Well, whose fault is the fact that they don't have any cap space? Now, in fairness, a lot of these guys, Chris Snee, David Boss, Corey Webster, Will Beattie even to a certain extent, helped the Giants win Super Bowls. So in the NFL, you get to a point where you pay the piper on these contracts that helped you win Super Bowls. That's how restrictive the cap can be. So for a team like the Giants, you live with a year like this. You live like with a year like last year because you have those rings. You look over, for example, in the division, Washington and Dallas. Washington last year had to cut a lot of guys. Dallas is going to be a mess in terms of the salary cap the next two seasons. And those two teams have nothing to show for all that money that they spent. So at least the Giants got Super Bowls. 201-939-4513. But they obviously have to clean this up in years going forward and invest their money, start reinvesting their money, I should say, in players that can help them win some football games. Let's go to our phones. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll get to your tweets in just a second. Let's start with Andrew in Yorktown. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, how are you? I love your show.
Thanks, Andrew. What's up?
Now, I just want to ask for a clarification. Eli has this year and then one more year on his contract?
Correct. He has two more years, 2014 and 2015.
Do you think that they're really going to let him enter free agency? You don't think that they're going to ask him to renegotiate in order to free up, to get him some offensive line, and this way he'll have better production?
I do. I think they'll wait until after this season to do it. Now, I could be wrong. John Mara intimated in his postseason press conference that that's something they probably wouldn't do this year. But if they get to a point where they see somebody in the market they really like and they want to add him, could they restructure Eli and give him a contract extension this year? Yes, I think they could. But coming off a year as bad as it was last year, now obviously mitigating circumstances, bad offensive line, receivers didn't play well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you can't put it all on Eli. But do you want to invest a five-year, $100 million contract extension and someone coming off a 30-interception season? I think the Giants would hesitate in doing that. I think they'll be more comfortable doing the contract extension with Eli after this season, hopefully, in their eyes, once he has a bounce-back year.
I also read that John Beeson and the Giants are negotiating now, and if they brought him back, I think that would also help cement the defense. Scary how good – Seattle and bad Seattle's defense look compared to the Giants' defense.
No, look, I agree. I think watching that Seattle defense in the Super Bowl, you get an idea of exactly how far the Giants are away on the defensive side of the ball. And then, frankly, you watch the Broncos' offense up until that Super Bowl, you realize how far away they are on the offensive side of the ball. But I don't believe that Beeson can sign an extension with the Giants over the next few weeks. There's a window 1 week before free agency. I believe it's the first week of March or the second week of March, something like 4th and 11th, somewhere in that area, where there's an exclusive negotiating period for teams with their own players. But as far as I understand the rules, I don't believe the Giants and Beeson can sign extension until that week. Now, they can do it with a guy like Roll because he's still under contract. But since Beeson's an unrestricted free agent this offseason, I don't believe they can re-sign him to that extension until you get to that first week of March.
And that would include Tuck then, right?
That would also include Justin Tuck. That's correct.
All right. Thanks for all the information, man. It's great.
Hey, no problem, Andrew. I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. Stick on the phones, and let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, pal?
I wanted to pick up on what he just said. So let me get this straight. You can't negotiate, no? I mean, I know you can't come to terms with the guy right now, but you can't negotiate, or like y'all can't talk numbers until that weekend.
I'm not sure what the rules are in terms of talking. I think technically you can talk to whoever you want to. But, there are tampering rules. I don't think, teams can talk about other teams' property and stuff until you get to that free agents period. I would have to look deeper into what the rules are in terms of talking, but I don't believe you can enter into any sort of contract or deal with your own free agent until you get to that period a week before free agency starts in March.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Now, I wanted to speak on some available guys that yesterday I was on Twitter and a lot of people was – I had brought up a dream scenario for me in a draft.
What's that?
Because basically I want a linebacker in either one of those rounds. I want – in the first two rounds, excuse me. I either want a linebacker that's physical, fast, and can run sideline to sideline. And I also want a big corner that's fast and very physical. So when I said my dream scenario, I put it out there that, okay, my dream scenario will probably be C.J. Mosley in the first, and then in the second, the guy from Nebraska, the cornerback from Nebraska, that would have been a dream scenario for me. But some guys was killing me on Twitter, like, no, Mosley too small, blah, blah, blah. And like, man, you got to check out this guy, Ron Shazier from Ohio State. I checked him out, man. I'm very impressed with him, man. I'm very impressed, but I don't know what round he projected in. And so now I wanted to change my dream scenario. So if whoever was listening, whoever was on my Twitter, if they listening now, my new dream scenario is if we can somehow, in some miracle, grab up Justin Gilbert in the first, and in the second round, maybe Shazier there. That would be great. What you think?
Well, let me look up Ryan Shazier here just to give you an idea of when he's expecting to get drafted. He's a linebacker of Ohio State, 6'2", 230 pounds. I'm taking a look here. I don't think he's projected to be a first-round pick. Usually around end of one, maybe beginning of two. That's kind of where he's sitting right now. But again, all these things can change once you get into the combine.
Yeah,
remember, I said he's only 6'2", 230. 230 is very small
big
for an NFL linebacker.
Right.
Very
and
small.
So, yeah, you know what I mean? So they're yelling at me about C.J. Mosley, but this guy ain't too big himself. But see, I'm not too big on, size with linebackers. I don't really care. I don't care if you 6'5" or you 6'1". As long as you can run sideline to sideline and be physical and smack people around, that's the type of linebackers I love.
No, I hear you, Shakes, but if you're only 220, 230 pounds, how easy is it going to be to tackle a guy like Adrian Peterson,
and
he's
going to
run
you
over.
Right?
Exactly, and you got to get off blocks from the offensive line. If you're only 225 and you got to shed a block from a 310-pound guard pulling around the center, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
No, I don't. It don't sound like a lot of fun to me neither. The good thing about it is, like, when I watch the little highlights on him, like, I like his awareness. Like, he understands, like, he reads the quarterback eyes a lot. Like, I just seen him change direction a whole bunch in the highlights. You know what I mean? It's just that second nature. So, I mean, if he's good as advertised as they say, man, with him next to JB would probably be nice.
No, look, I hear you. And if you can get Beeson back, and by the way, Beeson's, I think, I don't have the roster in front of me. I got to imagine Beeson probably comes in at 245, 250, right? I mean, he's not the tallest guy in the world, but he's pretty thick. And I think the Giants, even if you re-sign Beeson, in my opinion, I'm with you. I think you need to add another linebacker to play outside with Beeson inside, and then you can get away with that other linebacker spot, whether it's Pacing or Jaquan Williams, a combination of the two. I think you can get away with that, but I do believe even if you bring back Beeson, you probably should try to add another young impact linebacker at one of the outside spots.
Yep, that's what I agree totally with that. It's either in the first or second round. Like I think that we really need a linebacker. And the thing about it is, I was saying that on Twitter yesterday, is that it's not a very deep draft for linebackers. So I don't know, finding that linebacker in the second, third round may be slim pickings.
No, look, corners go early, pass rushers go early. You can get guys that play on the inside later on in the draft, but getting those skill positions outside, the pass rushers, the top notch corners, that can be a little bit tough sometimes.
Yeah, that's why in the first round, I really think that we should get a big, physical, fast cornerback. Like we need it. We got to keep up with the league. And that's the problem with the Giants is I think we're behind in the league. Like the league has evolved way ahead of us, and that's not good.
Shakes, appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, man. Thank you, man. Take care.
Take it easy. 201-939-4513. By the way, just a couple of important dates we have here. February 17th is the first day when teams can begin applying the franchise tag to players on their team. And anybody they want to put the franchise tag in, I believe that also includes that transition tag, which is that lesser franchise tag. That has to be done by March 3rd. Now, March 8th to March 11th, this is according to a couple different things I've seen online here. Teams can begin entering contract negotiations with unrestricted free agents. Now, these are guys on their team. Qualifying offers to restricted free agents and offers to unrestricted free agents who the team wants to retain should also be made during this stretch. And then on March 11th at 4 p.m., that's when free agency officially begins, and teams may begin signing players or trading players who are still under contract. Additionally, all teams must be under the salary cap by March 11th. So that's where you are. And I can't find the explicit rule here that gives the exact rules of re-signing your own guys and contract extensions and stuff like that. But I'll try to get there and find that as the show goes around. Worst comes to worst, I'll have it for you tomorrow morning right here on Big Blue Kickoff. 201-939-4513. Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Nothing. I got a question for you. Will the Giants be restructured Eli May and see whether his contract can cut Chris Knee?
Well, I think Chris Knee, before they cut him, Tim, and thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. They're going to wait to see if Chris Knee retires first. And if he decides he wants to play, I think what the logical thing to do would be to get his base salary number down to like $1 million. So rather than paying him $4.75 million to not do anything, you pay him $5.75 to be here as veteran depth and see if he can come back and be an effective player again. And if he doesn't, you know what? It doesn't really hurt you that much. You make the move later in training camp, and you move on without any harm. So, in my opinion, that's probably what's going to happen with Chris Knee. As for Eli Manning, again, this is based off how I would handle it and also based on what John Mara said in his postseason press conference when he basically kind of poo-pooed a question away about Eli Manning's potential extension. I think the Giants wait until next offseason to redo Eli and extend him. He's coming off a bad year. You have enough cap space without that restructure. That gives you an ability to create more cap space next year if you wait till next year to make that deal and to do that contract and give him that extension. So I think you put all those things together, that's probably the way the Giants are going to go when they handle Eli Manning. What was the third player he had, Dan, on his list? Shoot, I don't remember. Oh, well, I will get to it. Was it Roll? And Roll, I think they'll probably just extend at some point over the course of free agency. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Kayshawn down in Maryland. Kayshawn, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kayshawn. What's going on?
Nothing much. Couple of things. Steve, yes, tell Steve that he probably does know me. I am a member of Big Blue for Life, and I do go to Rio's during the season, and then I leave and go to Lowell Station. So chances are that we know each other. I'm terrible with names, but I'm sure if he's a Giants fan, I've gave him a big hug. And so, yeah, he pretty much probably knows me. There's a lot of Giants fans in this area, and that's one of the things I love about D.C. It's so rich.
We are bringing Giant fans together all over the nation's capital. I love it.
I know. It's wonderful. Okay, so back to football. I was a big advocate of Eric Decker until I watched him in the Super Bowl. And so now I'm nervous because I actually wanted the Giants to get rid of Hakeem Nicks and go after Decker. But now that I saw that Seattle shut him down and playing in the NFC, not only in our division but in the conference, and the NFC, in my opinion, is more physical than the AFC, I'm not so sure if the Giants should go after him because I don't want to pay $8, $9, $10 million for a guy who's going to be shut down off one-on-one coverage. And you think of the NFC East, I just don't know. So I wanted your opinion on Eric Decker. And then the second thing, is there like a database that I can go to kind of observe and read on the potential free agents? Because I only know about a few of the free agents that are coming out this year. I don't know if you Google them or is it exclusive to just media people?
No, honestly, just go online. And if you Google 2014 NFL free agents, you'll get three or four different sites that list them by position alphabetically. And you can basically take a look at anything you want to take a look at. And, Kayshawn, I wouldn't get too nervous about Eric Decker, coming off that Super Bowl. Quite frankly, Richard Sherman has done that to a lot of different players, whether it's Michael Crabtree or Eric Decker. Go down the list. He's shut down a lot of guys. Now, do I think Eric Decker is a number one wide receiver in this league that can, you know, demand the double team and dominate games? No, I don't think he's that good. Do I think he's a very, very solid number two that would be effective across from Victor Cruz? Yeah, I think he'll fit that role well. But let me put it this way. Do I think Eric Decker now is as good as Akeem Nicks was 2 years ago when Akeem Nicks was at his best? No, I don't believe Eric Decker is at that level in terms of a player.
Okay, yeah. So then it goes to my comment on Friday. We're just going to have to draft a right receiver then and get a big guy. Glad to hear that they cut Corey Webster. They should have did that last year. And, I think that's all I have for today. I think that I do want to go, I think in the first round, I do want to go and get that big corner. I do agree with Shakes, what he said earlier, that if it's one knock on the Giants, we have waited a little bit too long to kind of change and go with the league. I remember one of my biggest complaints back in like 2007, 2008 is that we were so conservative, we hardly passed. And then that 2011 season when we won the Super Bowl, we were passing, and now we were one of the most prolific offenses. So I think that the Giants need to kind of just step it up a bit as far as changing their organization and adapting to the league, which is the reason why I'm not hell-bent on re-signing Eli as of yet, because I think after Eli, we want to get a mobile quarterback. I don't want an RG3. I don't want somebody who thinks there's a running back that can just throw the ball. But I do want a quarterback that can extend the play, is more efficient or just as efficient, you know, throwing outside the pocket, and that can keep the play alive. And I think that Eli and the Manning brothers, they're statues. And I think after Eli, because the league is changing, they're going towards that mobile quarterback, that whenever we draft, we need to try to get someone who's like an Aaron Rodgers or an Andrew Luck. And that's all I have for today.
Thanks, Kayshawn. Appreciate it.
All right.
And by the way, the Giants have not cut Corey Webster yet. So that's something I think might happen in the future, but it's not something that they have done quite yet. The Giants haven't started cleaning up all their cap space and making those moves yet for 2014. 201-939-4513. And again, I think you can win with a pocket passer, guys. I really do. I mean, Peyton Manning got to the Super Bowl this year. Eli Manning got to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. In fact, look at the guys that have won Super Bowls. Joe Flacco is in mobile. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he moves around a little bit, but he's not, you know, Colin Kaepernick. You know, Russell Wilson's really the first quarterback that is renowned for his mobility and running that's won. So let's not try to make it out like the entire model and prototype for a quarterback has changed here. I don't think it has yet. I really don't. So I think if you're the Giants moving forward here, you could be pretty safe that Eli Manning plays to his potential and plays as well as did a couple years ago, that you can certainly win football games if you're the New York Football Giants. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Len.
Hey, listen, one more thing on Toby Gerhardt. If we're, you know, we talked about him last week. If the Giants are sincerely interested in Toby Gerhardt, they're going to have to move quick after free agency starts, because I have a feeling that Coach Harbaugh in San Francisco, it would love to have his former recruit at Stanford on his football team next year. So if he's in our plans, I think we're going to have to move pretty quickly, because I think Harbaugh is going to make, you know, take a shot at him. You know, I happened to catch some of the Super Bowl 46, Giants-Patriots, over the weekend. The NFL Network had the game on. So,
okay.
I watched it because, one, I knew what the outcome was going to be, and it was a pretty good outcome. But, you know, it's only been 2 years in about 5 days. It was just unbelievable how good they looked. Oh, my God. I mean, Eli starts out with 10 or 12 straight completions. Knicks is running crisp patterns over the middle. No hesitation whatsoever. The pass blocking was beautiful.
Well, the protection, I think you hit it there. Eli had a lot of time to throw, didn't he?
Oh, God, he did. He was stepping into every throw. And Pierre Paul on defense, Tuck on defense, Corey Webster. You say, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, I don't understand how we could even get to a year like last year. But, hey, it happened. That's the way it goes. But that was a beautiful thing. That was a beautiful thing. Listen, how many, and I really don't know the answer to this. I'm not trying to set you up here, but how many sacks did we have out of the defensive end position last year? And could the Seattle Seahawks match that at the defensive end position? I mean, count with me if you would. If we count Tuck as a defensive end, I know perhaps a couple of those sacks came out of the defensive tackle position. But
that's fine, though.
What did he have? 9.5? What did he have? 9.5?
Let's see. I got it right in front of me here. Justin Tuck had 11 sacks.
Okay.
Mathias Kiwanuka had 6. Boy, that's the quietest 6 sacks I've ever seen.
That's 17.
Let's see. Jason Pierre-Paul, I believe, just finished with 2, right, if I'm mistaken?
3? 2? I was going to say 3, but it might be 2.
Let me see. I'm looking for his number.
Let's go. 2. Okay. So, and nobody else out of the defensive end position. So we got 19 sacks. How many, and again, I don't know the answers. How many sacks did Seattle get out of the defensive end position?
Well, let's look that up.
I'm just using Seattle as an example, but I'm just, you know, I'm curious. We don't really know what Perry Fuel is asking these guys to do on every particular play.
Let's see, Seattle. I got them right in front of me here, Len. Seattle, okay. Out of their defensive end position. Let's see here. Defensive statistics,
Bennett,
for Seattle.
Bennett, Averill.
Hold on. They have, yeah, they gave me postseason stats. Let me flip over to regular season here. All right, regular season sacks for the Seattle Seahawks defensive ends. Michael Bennett had 8.5.
Okay.
Cliff Averill had 8.
16.5.
Chris Clemens had 4.5.
Okay.
And do you want to count Bruce Irvin as a pass rusher? Because they do put his hand down and let him rush from the end sometimes.
Well, how many did Irvin have?
He had 2.
All right, so we're up to 20. So it's 19 to counting Irvin. If I counted correctly, John, we're talking 23. Look, you know, that's not bad. The point I'm trying to make is I like Kiwanuka, so there is a little bit of a bias here. I mean, we don't know what Perry's – really. I'm just a fan. I don't know what Perry's asking these guys to do on every particular play. I mean, sometimes it looks like the defensive ends are coming in and just trying to knock a blocker off so somebody else can get to the sack.
Well, I mean, Len, I mean, look, this isn't rocket science. When they run the ball, they want them to contain and make a tackle. When the team passes, you want them to get to the quarterback. I mean, Perry's not asked. Put it this way. Perry Fuel's not asking these guys not to go after the quarterback. That's not happening. Yeah, okay. I can tell you that for sure.
Okay. Okay. Well, the point is the way they fit is the same thing with Rivers. I think we can get through the – now, if we don't sign Beeson, we got to really seriously think about a linebacker in round one. But we can live through this year. We've got so many holes. I think we can live through this year with the four or five linebackers that we have, okay, including Rivers. I would re-sign Rivers. The point is his stats don't look that great. But again, it's what are we asking the guy to do? And maybe he's doing exactly what Perry wants him to do in this defense. Now, you had a little discussion last week with some folks about Eli's year and so forth. And I'm biased toward Eli, but the last two Super Bowls ended with pass plays 5 or 6 yards deep in the end zone, in the corner of the end zone. Deep corner of the end zone, Kaepernick to Crabtree. Here's my bias. Who do you want throwing that ball in that spot? Less than 20 seconds left in the game. You want Kaepernick or Eli Manning throwing that ball?
You want Eli throwing the ball.
I'll take Eli anytime. And you know what? They win one of those two Super Bowls, John. If Eli is throwing that ball in that end zone, in that corner, we don't know what the answer is. Again, I'm showing my bias, but the 49ers win one of those two games. Real quick on Linville Joseph. I'd love to see him back. You wonder whether the Giants just made up their mind last year when they drafted Hankins. I mean, we had already signed Jenkins. Patterson was already signed, and, then we drafted another defensive tackle. Now, there was no bigger fan of defensive tackle, getting new defensive tackles last year than I was. I mean, I wanted to, as you probably heard, you probably remember, I wanted to punish the interior on these offensive teams with defensive tackles. But I wonder if that's just, they made up their mind last year that it was going to be, Hankins was the new guy. We'd get one more year out of Linville, and that was it. I'm just wondering, what do you think, John? Was the die cast in last year's draft?
In my opinion, they drafted Jonathan Hankins to replace Linval Joseph the same way, in a lot of ways, they drafted Linval Joseph to replace Barry Caulfield. Yeah. In my opinion, that's what's going to happen now. If Linval doesn't get a huge offer somewhere, would the Giants be thrilled and, pick him back up at a reasonable number? Sure, I'm sure they jump at that opportunity. But considering how well Linville's played in his, young age, I can't imagine he's not going to get a big contract somewhere.
It really is hard to believe that. The Giants are not going to pay big money for Linville. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. It just seems like today, John, in today's NFL, you got a 53-man roster. You can pay about 10 guys. You can pay your core. And then you have to resort on your rookies making the team, a couple of undrafted free agents making the team so that you can pay them less money, even going with one-year contracts. I think the escalation in the one-year contracts, John, the reason why we had such an escalation in one-year contracts last year is that some of our draft choices didn't work out. And we had to get some guys in here.
No, that's true.
But let me just ask you this question, but if this takes too much time, John, go on to somebody else. I'm taking more time than I probably deserve here. But who are those 10 guys, John? Who's the core of this team? Projecting forward 3 or 4 years. Eli, Victor Cruz, okay? You want to put Wilson on that list? He's so iffy at this point. You can't really count on that.
Do you want to put a role on the list?
Heck yeah!
Okay, put Andre. Yeah. You got to put.
I'm just starting offensively. I think we got to put Beatty on the list because we've already decided that he was 5 years into the future.
Justin Pugh.
Justin Pugh. So that's four guys on offense, Sean. Let's go to defense. So definitely roll.
Prince.
I'm hope they're thinking positively about Prince. That's two.
I agree. Okay. Will with Hill? You would hope.
You know what? I agree with you on that.
You would hope Will Hill.
I think. And probably if he stays around a couple of more years, he's probably Roll's replacement. That frees up. The guy's a good football player.
And you would hope Jason Pierre-Paul, that would make eight.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you, if I mean, if that doesn't work out, you just say to yourself, how unlucky can you get? I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's just, so you got to put Pierre Paul on there.
And I think John Beeson, if you re-sign him, you would hope in 3 years he'd still be your starting middle linebacker.
I think you got to put Beeson. Now, we're up to 8 or 9.
That's 9.
Can you think of anybody else?
I think you would hope that either Hankins or Demontre Moore might become good enough to be one of those guys. I think Colin Jenkins is probably a little bit too old to be counted in that group. But
yeah,
I think if you draft a big defensive player in the draft this year very early, or if you pick up somebody in free agency, I think that would probably be your 10th or one of the guys you pick up on offense, either a tight end or a running back. Maybe you would hope in 3 years would still be here and be a big part of your team.
I think we've exhausted. I mean, I think we got to 9.
Yeah.
I think to get to 10, you start saying this year's number one, the 12th pick in the draft.
No, you're right.
This has got to be a future player.
Has to be.
I mean,
you can't miss.
We don't even know who that guy is. But he's got to be one of those core 10 that are going to carry us forward.
Len, I'm with you. Thanks for the call, pal, as always.
Okay, take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And I think Len makes a good point. And let's be honest, of those 9 guys, some of them have big question marks still. Will Hill, with all the off-the-field stuff, so as to be considered at least a small question mark. One of those guys, John Beeson's a free agent. You know, Prince, not to get people nervous, and JPP, they're both free agents after next season. That's something else the Giants are going to have to figure out. Rose, a free agent after next season. Eli's a free agent in 2 years. So there are a lot of guys there, even in that 10, that the Giants don't even have under control for more than 1 or 2 more years. So that's why I've called it from the start the most important offseason for Jerry Reese pretty much since he's been here. You're really rebuilding this team. 201-939-4513. Anthony's in Phoenix. Anthony, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Anthony. How are you?
Excellent. I was just listening, and I think you could add Stevie Brown to that list, too, if he comes back the way he played earlier.
Yeah, you know, I think Stevie Brown, and I didn't mention him, I believe he's a guy that will be back. They'll get him back at a very reasonable cost. But I think right now he's probably still behind Rowan Will Hill on that safety depth chart.
For sure. You know, you were talking earlier about the franchise tag. Now, I read an article, they're thinking that the Giants are somewhat thinking about putting the franchise tag on the wide receiver there, Nix. And I don't know. I'd like to – where would you think it would be best used to put that – I think it should be put on Brown, a running back.
Honestly, I don't think there's anybody that the Giants have that's going to be a free agent that's worth the franchise tag. If you put the franchise tag on Andre Brown, I'm not sure exactly what the running back number is for the franchise tag, but it's got to be somewhere around $6 million, $7 million, $8 million, right? And I don't think Andre Brown's going to get a contract worth much more than $3 or $4 million a year. So, I mean, I don't really think there's anybody in free agency that's worth the franchise tag. If there's one guy, if you really want to keep him above all else for one more year to see what Jonathan Hankins can do at playing more, maybe you put the franchise on Linval Joseph. Maybe you put the franchise on John Beeson. I guess you can consider one of those two guys. But honestly, I don't think the franchise tag is a very useful tool for the Giants this year. The franchise tag is good for somebody coming off their rookie contract. Like next year, for example, I could see them using the franchise tag on Jason Pierre-Paul. I can see them using the franchise tag on Prince Amukamara. I think those two would make a lot more sense than any of the guys that are free agents this year.
Okay, but you know, there's a couple of things I want to run by. I've been looking at some of the draft picks and what they're thinking about, you know, they're looking at what the Giants are going to pick and so forth. And there's a lot of offensive tackles and whatnot out there. I wanted to see what your opinion is about this Lewan from Michigan, or I don't want to know, this guy from Alabama. I don't want to say his last name wrong. Colanjo from Alabama, Cyrus?
I'll check him out.
Or Greg Robinson.
Okay. Oh, well, old Greg Robinson, that, you know, are you talking about the kid that played quarterback for Michigan last year?
No. The offensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
You got Greg Robinson at Auburn, and Cyrus. I'm messing up his last name. Kwanjo from Alabama.
Right.
And Lewan from Michigan. Now, we've had a lot of relationships with with Michigan. Got a lot of guys from Michigan that most of them haven't panned out. So I'm a little leery about getting Lewan. But what do you think about him? Just Taylor Lewan?
Well, look, all those guys you mentioned are basically projected to go in the very, very top of the draft. And I think, you know, a lot of the guys that you're talking about would be options for the Giants when they select. But I think the Giants have to make a decision here based on what they do in free agency, based on what they end up doing with the guys on their own roster, what they want to do with Justin Pugh. Are they comfortable moving him inside? Do they want to keep him at tackle? And if they really think Justin Pugh is going to be an excellent tackle in this league, which quite frankly, based on the last 12 games of the rookie season, it sure seemed like he was going to be an excellent offensive tackle. Maybe they don't want to move him inside. And if you're not going to move him inside, then do you really want to sit here and draft a big-time tackle when you have Will Beattie under contract for big money for 4 more years? You got Justin Pugh as a rookie, played really well at tackle. Do you want to move him inside? Now, that being said, if one of these guys becomes available, you mentioned Greg Robinson of Auburn, Cyrus Kawan Disho, I believe, from Alabama. I think I'm butchering that one, too. Taylor Lewan out of Michigan. You know, all these guys are projected to go, you know, top 15 picks. If you think these guys are franchise left tackles that are can't-miss prospects and they're the best player on your board, do you consider taking them? Sure, but I don't think it's a deal where you have to take an offensive tackle in the first round no matter what, especially if you can get, you know, a top guard or a top center in free agency to help fill out that offensive line a little bit.
Right. And as far as Snee is concerned, you know, if I'd love to have him back. If he can play and he wants to play, but he's got to be reasonable with the money. You know, really just help the Giants because the Giants helped him. Okay.
On the old, and Anthony, he will. Because right now, as I said to start the show, they owe him like 11.5, right? $4.75 million of that is off his original signing bonus. So that money's not going anywhere. That's going to be money that he's getting whether they cut him, whether he retires. He's getting $4.75 next year, bottom line. So what my guess is what he'll do, he'll take his base contract number, which is around $7 million in salary. He'll negotiate that down to probably a veteran's minimum of some kind. And then the Giants can, you know, try to let him earn a spot. And if it doesn't work out for him, they can cut him in, you know, after training camp's over, and nobody loses anything out of the deal. Snead still gets his money. The Giants still, you know, had a chance to see what he could do, and I think everybody's a winner in that spot.
Excellent. John, I really, really thank you for the information you gave us before about the cap in the beginning of the show, and also your conversation with Len was excellent. I just wanted to add Stevie Brown to that list, and I'll tell you what, great show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Anthony. I appreciate the call. And by the way, I did some investigating. I sent a couple emails around, and I was wrong earlier, so Shakes will be happy about this. The Giants and any NFL team can negotiate and re-sign their own unrestricted free agents at any time between now and March 8th. Now, between March 8th and March 11th, that exclusive period I talked about, that's for teams to negotiate with other teams' free agents. So the Giants could theoretically re-sign Beeson. They could theoretically re-sign Justin Tuck at any time between now and March 8th. So I was wrong about that before. Happy I got it clarified. So there you go. So I know one of the earlier questions, I think it was from Andrew, that the Giants were negotiating with Beeson. They very well could be going back and forth, and they could sign that deal. I don't remember where I read the fact that you couldn't re-sign your own free agents in this period. I read it somewhere a couple weeks ago. Must have been wrong. That's my bad, folks. That's on me. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's happening, John? Happy Monday to you, buddy.
Happy Monday.
It's funny because I am a member of Big Blue for Life on Facebook, and I have been out to Rio, so I'm sure I know Krishan. You know, they call me Charlie Murphy. I'm going to leave that alone, but I know she knows why.
They call you Charlie Murphy.
They call me Charlie Murphy.
Now,
I can't stand it, man.
Well, I have a buddy whose actual name is Charlie Murphy, so I find this very fascinating.
Well, you see my picture on Twitter, man. I mean, I hear it all day, every day. Can't stand it. But anyway, you know, I agree with just about everything my good man Len said. And I think we kind of came into this, you know, winning the last year looking for Lindvall's replacement. And that, you know, I have so many mixed feelings about that. I mean, you kind of want to be prepared. But when you look at all the defensive tackles we got Hankins, we got Patterson, we got Coon. You know, half these guys won't even see the field. And I just, you know, I think we're making a big mistake by letting Lindvall walk. I know you're saying if he doesn't get a good deal, well, I mean, a good deal for him is, you know, should be, you know, conducive with the play he's put out on the field. Now, I just don't see why we won't keep our good players. That really bothers me. I'd rather get rid of somebody, you know, this dead weight, you know, see what we can get for Coon or Patterson. You know, I'm just really not ready to part with Lindvall, so. But that being said,
Steve, let me put it this way. Would you rather keep Lindvall and lose John Beeson or keep John Beeson and lose Lindvall?
I'd rather keep Lindvall.
Really? Okay. That's a fair answer.
I think his health has shown that. I think he's been a giant, and I think he's a young player, and I think he still has a lot of upside. So, we already know that nobody came to our team more motivated than John Beeson. I mean, he is a competitor. You know, he's a football player. He had a lot to prove. Lindvall, you know, has been consistent with no pressure on his back this whole time. So, I'm definitely a Lindvall Joseph fan. I make no apologies for that. And,
all right,
you know,
now, Steve, here's a better question. Who would you rather have them re-sign, Lindvall Joseph or Akeem Nicks? That's what I want to know.
Lindvall.
Wow,
Lindvall.
All right. Lindvall. Steve is throwing Akeem Nicks to the curb. Lindvall Joseph is new guy. I like it.
Listen, I mean, you know, listen, the guy has been solid through and through, and I just think that it's the message that it sends to all the other guys. You work hard, you know, we're not going to pay you, but hey, if you get paid somewhere else, great. But if not, we're just going to try to get you for the least amount. That just, you know, that's not good, man. But, you know, back to the safeties, I also think that Will Hill had just as big of an effect on the defensive turnaround as Beeson did, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. Obviously, Beeson's leadership on the field, you know, was second to none. I think he was a great leader. But as far as the play, oh, man, Will Hill balled out. And I think he will continue to do that. He's, you know, I'm one of those players that I obviously want to, you know, try to keep all the safety because I actually like Mundy. And I was having this conversation with Chase on Twitter, and the difference between Mundy and Stevie Brown is Stevie Brown has been, you know, making a lot of our interceptions. I'm just really not sure with him coming back from his injury that we're going to get that out of him. You know, Mundy is a football player, and he's been a consistent hard hitter. You know, I mean, he's not a great player, but he's a good, solid player. So, I mean, if it came down to Mundy or Stevie Brown, unfortunately, I would have to go with Mundy just because of his health. And I just don't know if Stevie Brown can do the things that he's done for us in the past. Now, I really like Stevie Brown. So, you know, in a perfect world, we'll keep all of them because, I mean, everybody's pretty happy with the safety play. But, you know, I just have one quick question for you, John. I want to kind of talk about the offense. I know, you know, there's some talk about, you know, maybe getting Mack from Cleveland. And I really like the move, but I really don't know what we're going to do with David Boss at this point. Do you have any information you can share with us?
I'm sorry, Steve. Say that again one more time.
I said I really like Mack from Cleveland, but I'm not sure what's going on with David Boss at this time.
Yeah, you know what? The Giants have got to figure out what they want to do with David Boss. If they let him go and they designate him a post-June 1st cut, they'll save, you know, a little bit more money, but that money then can't be used until after June 1st. So, you know what? They still owe David Boss a lot of money. And honestly, I think an outright cut this offseason might be a little bit unlikely. They might do some kind of renegotiation down or something like that and keep him on the roster for one more year. I'm not sure how they're going to handle it, but let me put it this way. I don't think with his injury history, David Boss's presence is going to prevent the Giants from going out there and trying to sign and improving a better player at center so you can improve there in 2014.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, man, I'm probably going to irritate a bunch of people by my next comment, but I just, you know, I kind of, you know, looking at, I'm really not sure JPP is going to return to the old JPP. For him. So I don't predict we'll be re-signing him. I don't. I just don't. I just don't. You know, he needs to do less talking and a whole lot more preparation is what he needs to do. I don't want to hear anything else from him. You know, all I want to see him is show up with an attitude and be ready to go healthy next year. Other than that, you know, I'm not sure he'll get the big contract that he probably thinks he's going to deserve. I know a lot of people are high, real high on him, and I was too. But, you know, between his play and his attitude, I'm just really not sure we're going to get that player again.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. Great show, and hope to hear from Frank. Have a good one. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Steve. And you know what? I don't know what JPP's going to do this year either. And we're talking about a shoulder injury. We know how that much that bothered Justin Tuck over the course of a couple of years. We're talking about a back injury. And, guys, not to be rough on the kid, he's been in the league 4 years. He's played well for a year and a half out of 4 years. His rookie year gave you very little. His second year, he was good for half a season. Second year, that's when he had his blow-up year and he was great. Excuse me. Third year, he was good for a half a season. Disappeared second half of last year. And then last year, he was nothing the whole year. So you're looking out of a four-year career, 2.5 of it has been very disappointing. Now, is it possible he gets into shape? His back's 100%, his shoulder heals up, and he can be that player from 2011 again? Sure, it's possible. But like Steve, is there any guarantee that's going to happen? I don't think so. You could very well be looking at a very similar situation as to what you have with Akeem Nicks this season, as to what you'll have with Jason Pierre-Paul next year. A lot of the same things, and I'm surprised we even had more calls about Jason Pierre-Paul. A lot of the same things we were saying about Akeem Nicks after last year is the same thing that we could say about Jason Pierre-Paul after this year. Now, you hope he can bounce back and it'll be better, but I don't know if he will. And I agree with Steve. You know, you hear him say a lot of things, oh, I feel 100%. You know, then he says, I'm not going to be 100% till next year. We've heard Jason Pierre-Paul say a lot of different stuff that frankly contradicts itself over the past couple of years, and then this season specifically. Let's see it on the field. I'm with Steve. I'm done with the talking. Let's see some production. Let's see some sacks. Last year, the teams didn't even double-team him. They were double-teaming Tuck. JPP wasn't even getting double-teams last year. 201-939-4513. I think we just found a topic for another show next couple weeks. Let's go to Mike in Dallas. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's up, Mike? Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, let me just say this. You know, to me, the key to this offseason is John Beeson. You know, I love Joseph just as much as everybody else, but let me ask you something. When's the last time the Giants had a linebacker of any kind, a Pro Bowl linebacker, in the draft?
Carl Banks?
Going back?
Jesse Armstead?
Was that? Yeah, that was back in, what, 98?
Well, Jesse Armstead was drafted the same year as Strahan, so that was all the way back in, what, like 92?
Yeah, but the point is, you know, we don't hear the linebackers very often. I'd much rather get a linebacker that's established and has already shown that he's great with us. Okay?
I agree.
I like Joseph, but we've hit on a lot more defensive tackles than we have on linebackers. For some reason, we can't get linebacking right. You know, I said last year before, you know, in the middle of the year, hey, I don't want to bring Akeem Nicks back. I don't want to franchise tag him. I don't know if he's worth it. Everyone thought I was crazy. I just, you know, as far as draft goes, I don't trust us drafting linebackers. And that's all I really want to say. Everyone keeps saying we need to draft linebackers. We don't draft well in linebackers.
Well, you know what? They haven't really used that many picks, at least not high picks on linebackers either. I mean, the only guy you're talking about that they've used a higher pick on the last few years has been Clint Sintem, but he had a ton of knee injuries, and he never panned out because of that. You know, other guys, Jonathan Goff was a middle-round pick. Phillip Dillard was a middle-round pick to late-round pick. Jaquan Williams was a late-round pick. Spencer Pacing and Herzlick were undrafted free agents. I'm missing somebody. Chad Jones was a middle-round pick. Greg Jones.
I just want to say, as far as the line goes, you know what? Our tackles are what they're going to be. You know, we drafted a good right tackle. Beattie's stuck there. We need to focus on the middle. You know, forget drafting another tackle, even if he is a beast. If you're going to do that, trade him. Trade down to get inside help. Because that was Manning's problem. He got hit every time he stepped into the ball. And that's all I really want to say. I'll hang up. You can let me know what you think.
All right, I appreciate it, Mike. And look, it's hard for me to say don't draft a linebacker because you haven't drafted a linebacker as well. You have to trust your personnel department to evaluate these guys properly. That's why you're paying them, quite frankly, an awful lot of money. I mean, not player money, mind you, but you got to trust these guys to evaluate every position on the field. You can't just say, we haven't drafted linebackers, or let's stay away from linebackers. I mean, if you get to the point when you're picking 12th in the draft and you see a guy, you know, if Mac drops and you say, damn, this guy's good, you can't say, well, we missed on Jonathan Goff or we missed on Greg Jones 3 years ago, and for that reason, we're not going to take Mac. I mean, you can't do that. Now, has the history been great? No. Do I think they're going to take a linebacker in the first round? Gun to my head? No, I don't think they are. Because they haven't. Is it possible? Sure. Do I think a corner is more likely? Yeah. Do I think an offensive tackle is more likely? Probably. And I still think the tight end out of North Carolina is a sleeper there. I really do. I don't think you should dismiss that out of hand. Let's see what he does in the combine and, you know, his workout day and all that stuff. But that Ebron kid, I don't think it's out of the question. Everybody, great job on the phones. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll take focus on another topic of the Giants offseason as we move forward here on Giants.com. On Twitter, excellent job as well. I'll try to answer some of your questions now that the show's over. I kind of tried to answer them the last 10 minutes of the show as well. Everybody, thanks for calling. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Have a good one.